this was interrupted as Elisa returned.
Here.
She handed him a dozen or so pins with little colored squares of paper attached. He took them and looked again at the map.
Peredelkino, there. Then where the old man and his cart saw... Good. Then the market and the escape in the truck. Finally, where it was found dumped by them. Good.
Is there anything else, Comrade Major Commissar?
A thread or some cotton.
He waited until she reappeared, giving him a length of dark blue cotton. He tied it neatly around the most southerly flag, looped it around the next one, and the next, then adjusted it around the last little flag. The line wasn't straight, but it definitely showed an unmistakable progression. Semyonin extended the remains of the thread in the same direction and nodded to the girl.
Yes. See, Elisa Andreevna. Whoever they are coming our way. We must prepare to greet them.
Back at the big house, the three men waited for the others to return. In their planning discussions, Ryan had suggested that if all went very well, they might possibly return within a week or so. The same meals of smoked fish and dried meat began to get very boring after the first day, and with the rise in temperatures, the food began to smell. So Jack took Doc on hunting expeditions along the trail by the side of the stream to scavenge around the edges of the small hamlet in the trees. They went out either early in the morning or late in the evening. JB would watch them move off into the half-light as he leaned against the empty window frame on the second floor, the slight figure of the boy, his stark white hair flowing about his narrow shoulders like living spray, and Doc stumping along after him. While they were gone, the armorer would sometimes climb to the ruined loft and slip through the hidden door and go down the spiral staircase. He'd wander silent and alone through the chattering consoles, pausing to wonder at the supernatural strength that had enabled Christy Roth to devastate the lock. It had saved their lives by freeing the gateway door, but also trapped them in the middle of a hostile continent. By the time he returned to the first floor, Jack and Doc would be on their way back from the miserable ville. To steal from a small community was always dangerous. If too much was taken, the locals would take the trouble to hunt you down. Jack was very clever at it. He'd returned to the house with a sack containing eggs, potatoes, and other root vegetables. A few slices of meat, hacked off a ham dangling in a barn, helped to complement their meals.
Upon my soul, he is such a rapscallion. When we took the meat and the eggs, he stole more than we have brought with us, and left a clear trail to an outlying cabin, deliberately dropping a couple of eggs and a slice of ham so the owner would follow the tracks and suspect his neighbor, and we would thus escape quite free of any taint.
JB was pleased with that, but the arrival of Jack and Doc the following evening with a small dog in their sack didn't please him. Not at all.
Give it to me and I'll break its neck. Quick and easy, won't hurt it.
Doc held the shivering little animal against his chest, looking down at the damp nose and worried eyes.
I regret, my dear John Barrymore, that I would attempt to prevent you from doing that.
What?
I believe you heard me clearly.
You'd stop me?
Yes.
Doc, you are one double-cute old bastard. Stop me. Fine. Keep the mongrel. But if there's a moment that the dog risks us, I'll chill it as soon as look at it. Your responsibility, Doc. Yours.
Doc nodded and put the puppy on the floor, where it remained pressed against his ankles, cowering.
I am grateful, JB, for that. I assure you, as one gentleman to another, that I appreciate the hazard that it might bring, and I accept your terms for allowing it to remain with us.
Fuck a left dog in woods, tied for wolf bait, bastards. What do you call it, Doc?
Zorro. So he will make his mark on any of our enemies.
He saw the other two grinning at the tiny puppy.
When he has grown somewhat, that is. You'll see.
Ryan, Christy, and Rick had picked their way carefully over a shaky pontoon bridge that was built across a marshy river another half mile or so into the city. In the distance, they could dimly make out the ruins of a huge building, topped with the shattered remnants of a spire. Rick guessed that it was a cathedral from the olden times, or maybe a university. There was no way of knowing. To ask one of the local people would only rouse suspicion, and suspicion was only a short step from gangs of street kids with thin strangling cords.
How are you feeling, Rick?
During a brief break, while Rick dropped into an exhausted sleep, she and Ryan had discussed their concern about him. It was beginning to look as if Rick's own prognosis was going to prove sadly optimistic. His disease was racing through him like a flash fire through a field of dry brush. Even when they were on the run after dumping the stolen wag, Rick had to keep on stopping for a rest. He finally collapsed, sobbing in his distress, begging them to leave him and go on alone. Ryan knew that to show kindness or weakness toward the sick man might well destroy him altogether. So he pointed out that the only hope of their all being saved by jumping out of Russia lay in Rick's hands. But he was still on the dark side of hope. Ginsburg's muscles kept going into a painful spasm, making his fingers contract helplessly like claws. His legs jerked, sending him toppling over. Ryan and Christy had to keep constantly alert to save their friend from falling flat on his face. At one point, after he had actually gone down heavily, he lay there moaning, again telling them to go away and leave him. It was on a quiet suburban street, relatively undamaged, with an irrigation canal running gently along its side.
Fuck off, both of you!
Fortunately, there were no Russians anywhere near. Ryan stooped and tried to help Rick up, but he curled himself into a fetal ball and wouldn't move.
Get up, you double-runner coward!
I won't!
Get the fuck on your feet, Rick, or I'm gonna...
He realized that almost any threat would be empty, and Rick knew it. He looked up, eyes bright and feverish behind the thick lenses of his glasses.
What? What are you gonna do, Ryan, old buddy? You're gonna kill me, are you?
Let me help you up, Rick.
No!
Please.
Let me be, look! I'll tell you what, you go ahead, find a house for the night... like last time. Watch for me, and I'll be along a bit later, when I've sort of...
Let us help you, fire blast.
Ryan's temper was beginning to flare out of control. Rick's wallowing self-pity put them all in danger. If one of the many sec patrols saw them, they'd stop. Rick was in no shape to try to speak Russian to them, and that would be that for them all.
Get up or I'll hurt you.
Kick a man when he's down, eh, Ryan? Come on, man, leave me. We're in the bottom of the ninth. Seconds to the gun, near the tape. One last free throw.
He stopped and shook his head, the tiredness overwhelming him.
Bend down, Ryan, and listen.
What?
Just bend down, please, Ryan. Christy?
Yes?
Could you give us a minute, will you?
Sure.
Christy walked a few steps away, looking up and down the tree-lined avenue, finding it almost unbelievable that this was Russia, that this was Moscow. These houses had been homes in the year 2001, filled with families. Then the nukes had come, coughing out their neutron sleep, and the world had died. Behind her, Ryan had knelt in the dusty road, head down, listening to Rick Ginsburg.
Go on, Ryan.
You gonna tell me what's up?
Oh, I'm sort of ashamed.
Why? What have you...
My sickness... When I'm real tired like now, I lose control of my muscles and... Oh, hell's bells, Ryan, can't you guess? I've soiled myself. I couldn't help it. I gotta clean myself. Now, it won't take that long. Just find a house and look for me. I'll make it.
If I had a handful of jack for every man and woman I know that shit themselves, I'd be the richest baron in the Deathlands.